Day two, Ohio State training camp in the books. Tim May, the 41-year vet, Andy Backstrom. Andy, you watched offense after watching defense yesterday. Now you have a full grasp of the entire team. You're going to tell us everything. No, I'm just kidding. I watched defense today, and then Tim was able to kind of roam and be the rover of the group. Yeah. It's a good little setup we have here, so we're going to go through some takeaways. Tim, what'd you learn?
I saw Julian saying, it's probably stealing his thunder, but I saw Julian saying throw a ball into a window that was a good window, tight window. Sometimes freshmen won't make that throw. I think it was to Will Kaczmarek at one point. My point is, it was an example of what this guy brings to the table. You know, basically your third or fourth string quarterback, depending on who you want to talk to, et cetera. And at the end of the practice, of course, I saw Devin Brown drop a dime in on what was it, Bryson Rogers on a post cut. The defense was having a hell of a day, and then all of a sudden it wasn't.
Yeah.
You know, the last play of the day. But that, I think that's a good way to end it, because you always want to, I think as a football team, you always want to feel like no matter what, you can strike offensively. But I think his quarterback duel is interesting to me. I'm not sure it's clear cut, like a lot of people want to put it, except from an experience standpoint. But I see Devin Brown, every time I look up, Devin Brown's competing big time. And for that matter, so is Julian Sayin.
Andy, what'd you learn?
Yeah, to go off of that, I mean, there was a practice we saw right before the spring game the day before. I thought Julian Sayin wowed in that practice. I think we all came away from that being like, okay, this kid has something. And I felt similar about today's practice. It wasn't just one pass to Will Kaczmarek.
Right.
There was actually two of those where he kind of shook away from pressure and then made somewhat of an off-platform throw to get it to the tight end and find a window, like you said, Tim, that wasn't really there. So that was super impressive. Will Howard had a couple really good throws. One was down the sideline, kind of on a wheel route to Travion Henderson. Another one he put right where David Adolph could get it in the end zone. Unfortunately, couldn't make the catch, but a really good throw downfield. Still some inconsistency there, really, with all the quarterbacks. I don't think anyone is just, like, standing out, but I thought all three had good moments.
And one thing to always keep in mind when we're talking here in the first several days of preseason football, they're not really playing football yet.
No.
Guys don't have on pads. Wide receivers don't have to worry about too much about getting jacked, although Carnell Tate had the feet knocked out from under him yesterday, which was a moment. But bottom line is, you know, he shook off the pass rush, for example, because he knew he wasn't going to get sacked.
Yeah.
You know, and so you got – I'm just talking about the physical art of throwing a football from here to there in a tight window, which is what Andy's talking about. That's what we're talking about, guys having the audacity to make some of those kind of throws or try some of them. And for a freshman, I think that's a big moment.
Yeah, two things on to just kind of put a bow on what you guys are saying there, and then I'll get to something that I thought was interesting from the defense. Julian has this ability to, and good quarterbacks do it. I can't call him great yet, but good quarterbacks do it where they're not necessarily facing pressure, but they move in the pocket to find a better window. And I think you're already seeing that. And from a true freshman, that is – outstanding. It's the ability to, like you said, turn his shoulders, not because the pocket's completely messy, but it's a little messy, and then he still finds a way to get to that angle to get the throw in there. You don't see that from freshmen. That's a trait that I thought CJ Stroud was just elite at, and you're seeing that in spurts from Julian. And
I think you're seeing more and more too from a lot of freshman quarterbacks, because they're getting tutored so much now in the offseason by their own quarterback coaches and stuff, who teach all those kind of little tricks.
Yeah, and then I think it's a little bit of like what we've always seen from Devin Brown, where on the very last play, he drops in that dart to Bryson Rogers. Well, the play before it, he jump skipped a pass that wasn't a great pass. And it's like, yes, that's nitpicking two passes, one of them elite and one of them probably one that he would love to have back more than any other. But when you talk about the quarterback battle, Ryan Day brought it up all last year when he was battling against Kyle McCord, and he continues to bring it up. They need to see consistency. And I think Devin's consistency just needs to be raised a little bit compared to where it is even right now. And I think that's what's going to help him make this that even battle with he and Will Howard, and make the experience that Will Howard has kind of get shoved to the side and say, okay, we can't resist but play this guy. Now, I don't mean to be taking the mic so much, but on defense, I am just convinced that this is the best secondary in college football. They are everywhere. Calvin Simpson-Hunt, 3 pass breakups that I charted today. Aaron Scott, a couple pass breakups. Those arms are so long. I can't get over it. It just reminds me of Jeff Okuda. You look at Jermaine Matthews, a couple pass breakups. Jalen McClain had the best day of a freshman safety that I can remember. Just everywhere in this defense. And then, of course, he gets beat deep on that last play. Kind of puts a sour taste in his mouth. Looked great, though. Had a great day for a freshman safety. Denzel and IGB, like, you can just keep saying it. Like, they're just good. They're just solid in practice. They know what they're doing. They talk their talk. Like, this secondary is so good. And the cornerback room is deeper, in my opinion, today than it was yesterday. It's deeper yesterday than it was in the spring, and it's deeper this year than it was last year. I can't say enough good things about what I'm seeing from the secondary.
Yeah, I didn't know how far you were going to go back.
Well, it's definitely better than last year and 2 years ago and 3 years ago.
Yeah, that's what I talked to Jim. That's what I asked Jim Knowles about. I mean, you're coaching such a different unit now than you were 2 years ago.
Yeah.
2022 when he first showed up, and it's got to be a joy. I mean, for want of another term, it's kind of like teaching grad level type courses to guys. Keep it in mind, you got young guys out there too, but the heart and soul of this defense is basically grizzled veterans who've been through the ringer and have risen above. But now you can take them places, you can do things with them you couldn't do 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And that's why he's talking about, you know, in so many words today, he's basically talking about keeping it simple, stupid, from the standpoint of lineup and things like that, because you can mix and match with the guys who are on the field and never change personnel.
Yeah.
That's such a luxury for a defensive coordinator to not have to show your hand just from a substitution standpoint. And if they get things really settled at that second linebacker spot, which I think they will, they've got the players, right? And they can really go places, keep the same guys on the field and play all kinds of games still with the offense. You know, what I came away from that press conference with him
was... Well, we'll get to the press conference.
Okay.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah. If there's a term that I would say sums it up, it's force the action this year. Force the action. Force the turnovers. You know, force the pass pressure, which leads to turnovers and or bad plays. I mean, that's what jumps out to me, is you can do it with the players they've got on the field.
Andy,
without calling every exotic blitz known to man.
Andy, again, you focused like a laser on this offense. Aside from quarterbacks, like, what are you seeing? Because I'd like to know. We haven't talked about it. We went straight from practice to the Jim Knowles press conference, and I'm hearing it for the first time. What did you think of this offense on day two? Because, you know, I watched them all day on day one, and we'll see if they kind of line up here. But are there any guys that kind of caught your eye, standouts, young guys that broke out today? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'll kind of go down the line. So Carson Hinsman was back at practice today.
Huge.
He missed yesterday with illness, was back today. Right away, kind of set the tone. He was in the sled work and just pushed it real hard to the point where Justin Fry gave him a huge high five afterwards. And I was like, all right, Carson Hinsman's back. He's in this competition for, you know, right guard, but also a center option as well. A couple other guys that stuck out in that early drilling period in the offensive line, Josh Simmons, Josh Fryer, like those guys together, you can just tell how much they've worked on their bodies and conditioning wise. They just kind of pop. As far as the wide receiver group, Mylon Graham, don't forget about him. And I'm writing about him for LetHimRow.com. You know, just a player with a change of direction, the quickness with his feet, kind of twitchy in the lower body. I think, you know, he joined the program in June, so it's hard to catch up really quickly at that kind of position learning the offense. But he's hard to miss, and it's not just because he's wearing number 5 that he looks like a young Garrett Wilson. Like, there's something with the lower body and how twitchy he is and how he changed directions on routes that's really intriguing to me.
Like Jackson Smith and Jigba was.
Yep, and then another small note, like Patrick Gerd, we talked about how maybe it would be in that Mitch Rossi role. I saw him taking handoffs today with the running backs, so that's another kind of hint that maybe that's where they're going with him. I do think he's going to play a role in this offense, whether that's as a tight end or a hybrid with that fullback position.
They just can't bring themselves to say fullback.
Right.
In this new era.
Got to make it interesting.
Go ahead now.
But yeah, those are just a few notes to kind of across the board with the offense. We already talked quarterback. It's the usual suspects at wide receiver. Emeka Buka, Jeremiah Smith were both good today. Brandon Ennis continues to impress. Carnell Tate as well. But I thought Mylon Graham was just a guy that maybe people are forgetting about a little bit that I had to mention.
Brandon Ennis, and this, again, like you said, it might just be because he's wearing 5. Brandon Ennis is wearing 11, so it might just be because of 11. I have not seen a receiver, period, here at this program, other than Jackson Smith and Jigba, get from breaking a route, catch the ball, to full speed with the quickness that Brandon Ennis does. It's like it's just a twitch. And Jackson could do it, but I don't know who's faster, Jackson or Brandon. I would say maybe Brandon, but like, you get to that top speed, and a friend of the show, Bill Landis, and I were just talking about it, standing there at practice, like, he gets to that full speed so fast. And it's almost like Jackson-esque in the way that he catches, turns, and goes.
His twitch and, switch.
Yeah, exactly. And then the other offensive guy that I thought from a defensive perspective that just, like, don't sleep on James Peoples as a legitimate running back option.
That's going to be my next point.
Go ahead, Tim, because that guy,
no, you go ahead.
The feet are so, so fast mm-hmm. and so twitchy. And I don't know how much we're going to see of it this year because of Travion and Quinshon Wrightley being up there at that top of that depth chart.
You're going to see it.
He's got something, folks. We'll clip this for maybe a year or two from now when he's getting hearing his name called, you know, in a couple of years in the NFL draft, and I'm saying, we told you so. But that kid's impressive.
He reminds me a lot. I mean, they're not identical by any stretch, but he reminds me a lot of J.K. Dobbins. Just the feet never quit moving. He's got fast, quick feet. He can has that little jump cut to him.
Yeah.
That J.K. Dobbins had, which, you know, you can coach that, but I'm not sure you can teach that. I mean, I don't know how to explain it to you. Some guys have it, some guys don't, but it comes instinctively to him. And what a tool to have, along with the fact that he's very intelligent. I mean, in my opinion, my dealings with him. You know, we're gushing about all these guys because we're talking about Ohio State, watching Ohio State practice against Ohio State and stuff, and they're not even in full pads yet, so it's not even real football. But what we're really saying here all along is this deep roster looks legit.
Yeah.
When you call it a deep roster, the deepest, in my opinion, I've covered Ohio State. I'm talking about every time I say it, I want to always say I've seen better players at every position at some point in my time covering Ohio State. But the depth of the great players in this roster, to me, is what really sets it apart. And there's James Peoples just working maybe to get some playing time in those first couple of games when he might have a chance to really show out.
Yeah.
And because you know what Quinshon Judkins can do. You know what Travion Henderson can do. It was really funny because Travion Henderson was one of the many top-level players who had to take a lap today because of a fumble or a miscue. And as he said, that's why, you know, what he came by and he said something like, you got to be a disciplined player or something like that. He was explaining to the media, wondering, why is he taking a lap? It's because everybody, I mean, that's kind of a – I don't remember them doing that last year. Maybe it's because we didn't get to watch practice much, but that's a new wrinkle they look like they put in the spring, that little bitty mistakes that get you beat aren't going to be tolerated without some kind of form of punishment now. So
it's those no talent issues.
Just a great example.
So there's no talent issues that they keep talking about.
No. I don't care if you send your star running back on a lap.
I hope
if he has a problem with it, put Quinshon in. You know,
I hope the ceiling fan doesn't follow me for saying this, but I think James Peoples got a little Blake Corum to him. That's who he reminds me of. You know, we've seen Blake terrorize Ohio State the last few years, two of the last 3 years. I guess he was out for the 22 game. Like, I don't know, James, the way he moves those feet, jump cuts in the lane and stuff, reminds me a little bit of Blake Corum to provide something that's not, hey, this guy's from Texas, he's a freshman, he looks good. Obviously, we kind of just go right to Dobbins with that, but he does look like him.
You could cover yourself by saying he reminds you of Blake Corum before he showed up in Michigan.
There you go.
While he's still neutral.
Last thing from me, and then we'll get to the press conference, and we'll get out of here and go right about it. Jason Moore, I keep beating the drum for him. I did it all offseason. Looks like he should play. Jason Moore should play. He is the most, I use the term Georgia-looking, because, like, Georgia always has those defensive linemen that you just line up across from. You're like, oh, God, I got to block this guy. Like, wide, really big up here, like, looks the part, and then is very quick off the ball. Like, he's going to need to play.
Smear garlic and stuff all over him and stuff. So, you know what I mean?
Are we roasting him?
You don't want to have anything to do with this guy. Play after play after play. That's how you do it.
I don't know what to do.
There's all kinds of tricks that go on.
Jim Knowles also mentioned Caden McDonald as a guy who's going to be up there. And then for some reason, my brain farted today and I looked out there at somebody who was making a pretty good play, and I said, who is that? Who's 93? And I had to look at the roster, even though I know who that is, and I was like, oh, yeah, Hero Canoe. And Hero looked like he had a pretty good day today. Just some defensive line observations I made. It's kind of difficult with those guys. They're not fully padded right now. They're not hitting a lot. But Jason Moore and Hero Canoe really stood out to me, and then Knowles added the Caden McDonald part. What else, Andy, did you learn from Jim Knowles to kind of transition into that?
Yeah, the Will linebacker spot, which is like the only position battle there. It's still neck and neck between Sonny Styles and CJ Hicks, according to Jim Knowles. And so we're kind of watching there. They're mixing and matching with CJ Hicks alongside with Cody Simon and Sonny Styles alongside Cody Simon, and you know, kind of seeing who fits better there in the 4-2-5. Jim Knowles did stress that he wants to play all three at times in a 4-3-4, but you know, the base is a 4-2-5 of this defense. So one of those guys is going to win that job. I do feel like I've seen Sonny more out there with that first team defense alongside Cody Simon, but we have seen a little bit of CJ Hicks there. And then the other thing that I'll mention is just the nickel depth is a concern right now, which I think is interesting. I don't know if we would have predicted that going into training camp, but Lorenzo Styles is still coming back from that injury in the spring. It seems like he was running sprints today, which looks so exhausting, pretty much between every single play and team period. But he had that little like neon green flag on him, which is, you know, kind of a no contact marker for these guys. So he will be back at some point. But, you know, Jim Knowles said that's a concern. The nickel position, you know, we've seen Jermaine Matthews there a little bit. He even mentioned Denzel Burke playing a little bit there at nickel.
Yeah.
So that's just interesting to see what they're going to do with that backup spot. Because we know, of course, that Jordan Hancock will be the starting nickel. But he can't play 70 snaps every game, you know, of a 16-17 game season.
I'm not sure the nickel will be in there 70 snaps.
Yeah, before you get to that, yeah. And I'll let you take over for this, Tim, but he also talked about three linebackers, which would just take the nickel off the field. You want a way to alleviate some nickel concerns and look at the passing games Ohio State plays? How often do you need a nickel out there? So, yeah, it's interesting. He talked a little bit three linebacker stuff today.
Plus, one of those three linebackers would be Sonny Styles, you got to believe.
Nickel.
Yeah, so you just slide it.
Played nickel last year.
That's what I'm talking about. This. You can change defenses with this defense and,
without
and not
anything.
Change personnel.
Yeah.
And snooker people. So I think it's a concern because the nickel is a big part. You know, but the nickel originally with this defense, the 4-2-5, was a third safety on the field, not a cornerback.
Right.
Cornerback type. You know, when Jim Knowles first showed up here, when he was at Oklahoma State, because it was a 4-2-2-3. Defense really, when if you really broke it down from a three safety aspect of what was sort of part and parcel to his rise to fame, three guys safeties in the middle, and so he still got that in his back pocket, as he likes to say. There are all kinds of ways they can go there to rob Peter to pay Paul, but ideally, you want Jordan Hancock not getting hurt, and you want Denzel Burke staying on the edge, and Davis Naipinosa on the edge with occasional relief from Jermaine Matthews.
It's interesting because the defense really, really took that next step when Jordan Hancock became a big player in all of this last year. So it was most effective last year when a corner was out there as the nickel, but then also Sonny Styles can play the nickel, but also you can bring just a third linebacker on the field naturally, and Sonny can play a nickel linebacker, almost a jack, but in a safety linebacker way instead of a linebacker defensive line way like we traditionally think of the jack. So maybe I'm making no sense, but it just seems like you said, Tim, so many different things you can do without changing a thing in this defense because Sonny Styles is now on the field in a linebacker role instead of at the nickel role. I just love it. I think
he's so big, I would call him more like a quarter than a nickel.
But quarters is a different formation.
No, I'm talking about a quarter, like not quarters.
A coin.
He's like the dollar piece, if you want to be like that.
The Benjamin Franklin silver dollar.
We'll just call him a loony and keep it at that. How about that?
Yeah, there you go.
A lot to learn.
And let him turn him loose.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, can we say goodbye to the Jack for now?
Bye, Jack.
Yeah, because that was mentioned again in the press conference. Jim Knowles said, for this season, it sounds like, it's also not going to be part of the equation. It wasn't last year. It was in 2022. Jim Knowles really emphasized, like, I don't want to bring one of these defensive linemen off the field, and that's what the Jack requires. So it's going to be that base set with the defensive lineman at least. He'll get creative in other ways, but not the Jack.
Yeah, you'll see a zone blitz from now and then because they've done that. You know, I mean,
yep.
But Mitchell Melton, like you're talking about, we were talking about. I mean, Mitchell Melton looks like he's really having fun because he's totally
defensive end.
Huh?
Defensive end.
That's what I'm saying. But when you put Mitchell Melton on the field, it's a little bit of a different look than JT Tuimoloau or Jack Sawyer. I mean, it's really interesting where they can go with this defense.
We're going to give Andy. Go ahead, Andy. Say goodbye to the Jack. And that's how we're going to end the show. We have a lot to learn from Jim Knowles. We have a lot to learn from these Ohio State Buckeyes who just got finished with practice number 2. Tim May, the 41-year vet. He's going to be back in the building tomorrow to watch practice number 3 because they're letting us do it, so we're going to be here.
I'd rather play golf tomorrow, but it is what it is. Opportunity knocks.
Who among us wouldn't? Andy Backstrom, he's going to be here watching that as well. And then me, Spencer Holbrook, we're going to be here providing full coverage of practice number 3 for Ohio State. That means we have less than 24 hours to break down practice number 2. We're going to be doing that over at LettermanRow.com. We'd love to see you guys over there at LettermanRow.com. www.thebeatsmaker.com.